be devastated by drought, be burned up. And sometimes we go, well, you know, you really believe you can do that? Yes, the Bible says we can pray, we can speak to things, and we have authority over that. So we're going to pray. Our land, I hate seeing our land dried up and things happen and people, so much of their economy and things. So we can pray. The Bible says simply, you just have not because you ask not. Amen? So we're believing God for that. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to give you a couple things tonight before we start. You can get a bulletin and make yourself aware. Ladies, Thursday, your Bible study starts this Thursday. Your Beth Moore series starts this Thursday. So get signed up for that. I know most of you have made your plan. So we're excited. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 10. I just want to take a few moments because I want us to pray. The last couple nights have just been awesome. And our turnout's been amazing. Sunday night we had 61 people for prayer, and last night 53 people were here for prayer. And so I'm just really blessed by the hunger in our church and people pressing into the things of God. You just can't do that and not have something happen. You have to understand that when God's people agree and come together, and this is my faith this year, I'm believing that we're not just going to start the new year and do this thing, okay, this year, but something's going to shift in us. I'm saying that over and over. Something's going to shift in us where we really get a hold of this thing and understand the power of prayer. I believe our regular Sunday nights are going to transform in prayer, and so we're going to see great miracles and God doing some great things. I don't see her. Are Mike and Susan here tonight? I got my glass on, everything blurry. But we had a one of our visitors Sunday morning. Mike and Susan is their name. They moved into the area a few months ago, and he was sitting on the back row back there by the sound booth. So he came Sunday morning and then liked the church, and he came back Sunday night and brought his wife. And then at the end of service, they've been looking for a Spirit-filled church. At the end of service, we called people up for prayer. And so they both came up, and we prayed over them. And after service, she just lit up. And she goes, man, that you guys prayed exactly what I needed in my life. The lady that laid hands on me on my shoulder touched me exactly where I needed God to touch me. God healed my body. So things are going to happen when we pray. Amen. And God's doing some great things, so we want to do that. But tonight I want to read this out of Hebrews chapter 10 as it applies to our prayer time tonight, because it's so appropriate for us to see this. Because sometimes we just read scripture and we don't just take time to really say, wait a minute, I'm going to make this personal. And I'm going to read it to you also out of the Message Bible. And it's just a great, great thought. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 19 says, now therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the household of God, let us draw near with a true heart in what? Full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, or whatever guilt, whatever impurities might try to, the enemy might try to remind you of. Come on, you have a clean conscience before God. Amen. And many times when we're praying, the enemy tries to bring up faults and failures and think we're going to read something here in a moment that just is really exciting in that area in 1 John chapter 5. But God's given us a clean conscience. Amen. Paul said that the sacrifices of the Old Testament were failing in one aspect. They could push sin forward, but they couldn't cleanse a conscience. So as you're praying tonight, you need to pray with a clear conscience. Never let the devil talk you out of God hearing and answering your prayer by giving you a guilty conscience. Amen? So we're washed, we're sprinkled, we have a clear conscience and full assured, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold fast to confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Amen? God made promise. He's faithful to answer. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen to the Message Bible. So, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God in the holy place. Amen. I like that. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our high priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. So let's do it. Let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we are presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. Amen. The big day. I don't know about you. I like the thought of a big day. Amen. That God's coming. So Paul says, hey, let's just do this. Let's find how creative we can be. Let's think about this. Let's think about how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out and continuing to worship and even more as the big day gets close. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we've read verses 14 through 17. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified Bible. I mean out of the Message Bible here as well. He says this, my purpose in writing to you is simple, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life, the reality and not the illusion. The reality. Come on, you're alive in God. Amen. It's a reality, not an illusion. And how bold and free we then become in His presence. How bold and free we then become in His presence. I don't know what your prayer's like. I don't know how you like, but Paul, John's right there and says, this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything, come on, there's a boldness and a freedom when you come before God. Are you with me? All right, now what? Freely asking according to His will, sure that He is listening. Freely asking, and we are sure that He is listening. And if we are confident that He is listening, we know what we have asked for is as good as ours. Like tonight, come on. God said, hey, you can pray for rain. Zechariah, God told Zechariah, He said, ask me for rain in the times of latter rain. Zechariah 10:1. My pastor stood on that verse. That was his life verse that God gave him on asking God for rain and pouring out His Spirit. Every time Pastor Hood believed, every service, that if he would ask God for rain, that He would pour out His Spirit upon that servant. Come on, we can believe for things from God. Amen? We can believe for Him to pour out His Spirit. We can believe for the rain of the Spirit. We can believe for rain and refreshing on our land. Amen? I like this because remember, you know, and many times we think we forget sometimes. The Bible says we are the salt and we are the light. We are the salt and we are the light. Salt preserves and light illuminates for safety, for protection, for deliverance. Amen. But how many have ever read where Paul said, hey, if you're married and you have an unbelieving spouse, don't run them out because you're the believing one sanctifies the unbelieving one. And there's an area that is a righteous. How many know that we can have righteous influence even over an unbelieving world? And Pastor, you're stretching it. I don't believe we are. I believe because the Bible says when the righteous rule, the city rejoices. How many know that in any city, not everybody's righteous? But righteousness brings a blessing and a covering so we can pray and we can see God's blessing and we can have boldness to be confident in. When everybody's in fear and doubt, we're going to say, hey, we will pray for rain. We will pray for provision. We will pray for deliverance. Amen? Praise God. And we have that assurance. Listen. So we have that confidence in dealing with that. Praise the Lord. Go with me one last scripture to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. King James, do King James amplifies that. Don't fret, worry, have anxiety. The Message Bible says it like this. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. If you've been worried, we're starting out this year. Let it continue through this year. Hey, don't worry, pray. Look what he said. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Turn your worry into a prayer. Letting God know your concern. Listen to this. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness. Everything coming together for good will come and settle down. Settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Amen? The world today wants us to worry about so much, be concerned about so much. But hear that. Hey, let your worries be turned into prayers. Things are going to rise up. Maybe everything hunky-dory right now, everything perfect. But there always seems something come along that wants you to worry about it. Paul said, don't worry about it. Pray about it. Amen? Somebody said, hear somebody. You hear somebody else worry. Hey, show them that instead of worrying, we can pray. Letting God know your concern. And before you know it, I love this, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Think about that. Worry's there, but He comes in its place. Amen? He comes in and just displaces that, takes that out of our life. Look at the inside of your outline, if you would, real quick. And I just want you to, I put this in there because I want you to be able to read it again. I want you to go over it. There's that area of what prayer has to do, our whole person. That powerful prayer is that God's moving on our behalf. It is infinite righteousness and it's omnipotent power of God that's moving when we pray. The mark of God is that He answers our prayer. I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is the enabling agent of God that's working with you. And then when it comes to fasting, remember this, when it comes to fasting, fasting does this. It just literally does a thing where you consecrate yourself. You say no to certain thing and say yes to something else. It's a way of consecrating, setting yourselves apart unto God, opening yourselves up, removing distractions, whatever it may be. Amen? Daniel just said it like this, said, hey, I'm not going to eat of those delicacies. I'm not going to partake of that. I'm just going to consecrate myself to God. It's a place of bringing myself into purity before the Lord. Amen. Honoring God. There's so many ways that you can do that. And just to say yes to God. And it's something that it does in us. It's a discipline that it does in our body. But then when we're seeking God through that, saying, God, I just want to get rid of the distraction. I'm turning off things. I'm separating myself. I'm not being driven by appetites or desire. I have one desire, and that is You. Everything that you fast from has an appetite connected to it. It's connected to a desire thing. So food, everything. Yeah. How many know you have an appetite, so you crave food, you start thinking about and doing different things. I was reading a thing the other day, and it's pretty true. If you fast for 3 days, hunger goes away after the third day. It really does. And so you can deal with it like that. And even learning how and doing different things, think about, well, how would I make it if I just ate one meal a day or if I did that? It's amazing how your body will adjust. You know, I didn't gear up for this fast the best way I could. The last night before the fast, Pastor Sue pulled this meat out of the freezer. Goes, what are you going to do with these pork chops? So we cooked these big, I'm talking about food again, we're fasting, huh? So I go, she goes, well, you know, I make them, you know, I step them. So I made them, and then I posted them. Then my son goes, what's up with that? You're posting food when we're fasting. So, amen. So we ate this big giant meal Saturday night before we started fasting. So if you're going to fast for a period of time, you might want to bring yourselves into that a little sooner, other than slamming on the brakes. Because you go, how come I can't make it? So position yourself. Just start cutting back a meal, then two meals, then all three meals, and then go a day, and then work yourself up to, if you have to, work yourself into, before this 21 days is out, you could fast several days and just seeking the Lord. And it's amazing what it does. It's such benefit, but you never find out. And that could be the new thing for you this year. That could be an unfamiliar place for you. But make this year new. Amen? And then on the inside of your outline there, look at that. I put these things in here because this is what I'm praying for this year. In these 21 days, I'm seeking the Lord for new clarity and direction for my life and for our church. I have a lot on my heart, but I need His wisdom and guidance to put it all in the right order and to accomplish it in the right manner. And so for me, I'm coming back to a place of simplicity. I want everything just get as simple as possible. Comes to the church, comes to my life, comes to what I believe. I just want to get back to that place of simple. I started listening to different things. I heard this, a pastor friend of ours posted this thing about this guy, and it's kind of a vein of teaching that I think is going in the wrong direction. It's kind of what John said here in 1 John chapter 5. He said this about some of this stuff. He says, this Jesus is both true God and real life. Dear brethren, be on guard against clever facsimiles. There's a lot of things being called the gospel out there that are just clever facsimiles. And I started listening to this guy teach on stuff, and it got just so complicated. And so which when you read the Bible, and then you just start expounding all and just getting all comfy, you go like, what are you saying? I don't even understand what you're saying. Another pastor friend of mine, he writes things. I just actually wrote him back. I said, dude, I don't even know what you said. It was like in the seed and the perception and the reality. I said, what? How does that help anybody when you hurt trying to think about what he tried to say? And that. So I just want to get back to being simple with God, just clarity. I mean, Jesus brought everything down and said, except you become as a child. Children don't think real deep. They're not deep streams. Children are pretty easy to get a message across to. Amen? All right. So that's where I'm going to. I want to get back to that place of original intent. And these are the four goals that I really have set for my life and for our church. And I believe they flow one to another. First of all is prayer. I want to strengthen and firmly establish prayer at the centerpiece of all that we do. Not just this beginning of this year, but for us as our church. I want our church to be defined as a church that pray. To pray first before we do anything. To act upon nothing without the direct guidance which comes from prayer. How many would agree? That's just a safe place to be. And then the next thing is evangelism. Isn't it amazing that Jesus told the disciples to go and tarry, and while they were tarrying, they tarried by praying. They were waiting on the Lord in prayer, and then God suddenly showed up and empowered them with the Holy Spirit. The very next thing they did was begin to evangelize or to take the gospel out. So prayer produced evangelism, not just a spiritualness on our part where I pray, but it produced evangelism. I love Robin shared a testimony where she went to Walmart last night after prayer, and there was a young lady weeping there, and she just went up and put her arm around her. Can I just give you a hug? And then loved on her, and then prayed for that young lady there. Come on, you need to be touching people. Evangelism, amen? So prayer moves us into evangelism, to go on to preach the gospel here and around the world. Before we're done as our church, we should send more missionaries around the world. We've had people go out, but we should actually be sending people out, raising people up to take the gospel around the world. And that happens through discipleship, which is the next key, that we're not to be content merely to lead somebody in a prayer of confessing Christ as their Savior without leading them into the understanding of what it means to live for Christ. Amen? Not like, well, I led so-and-so to prayer, but did you teach them how to live for God? One thing you told them, that they can have life in God, but how, if you don't teach them how to live for God, the enemy will come immediately and steal the seed that was sown in their heart. So we want to come alongside and disciple them. Make disciples who are able to make disciples. Be committed to their success in faith. And then community. By community, I mean that we're going to transform our church from a congregation who gathered to hear to a community that is united to live. It's great that we come together here and hear messages and hear about the Lord here, but community is when you go beyond. The book of Acts Church, the Bible says they had all things in common. We're not going to become a commune. We're not going to sell all of our stuff and bring it in, and I'm not going to pronounce anybody dead if you lie about what you're giving. Amen. But there's that place where we connect. It's so easy for, we live in such a disconnected world. So we come in, we go out, when's the last time you had somebody over and just started building friends out of the church? Be in community, a community of believers, daily in the temple and daily house to house, being connected and felt so that we come a community that is connected in life. To live so connected to the needs of each other as the family of God that there is no one in need and no one living with a need. Needy attitude or mentality. Sometimes people want and want community and want the church to be in community because they want the church to be welfare and social services for them. That isn't what it is. That means you have a needy mentality. Every person's idea ought to be, I want to be the blesser. I want to help. We come together. So if I know you have a need, I'm here to help you. We're supporting one another. We're bearing one another's burdens. We're praying one for another. Amen? But be there to be there for one another, not just to take and receive. So, but be fully living in the awareness of the sufficiency that is ours in Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just before we go into prayer, I'm going to ask him to cut these lights down again. And Donnie, if you'll, did you get that plugged in so you could play that in the computer? Because that other cord was funky, so amen. This song, just I love this song. I have, it's an older song that I have on my iPod that came from Christ from the Nations. And it's entitled, I Will Run After You. And that's really why we fast, why we pray, that if we turn this year, say, God, whatever's been going on, it just something, even that last song that Annie and the band sang about, you know, that here's my heart and here's my everything. Come on, this is my life. I'm giving it to you. There's something about just keeping giving and staying in that place and just keeping pressing into God, going after God. That's why the Apostle Paul says, hey, I'm pressing towards the mark. Amen. And to me, this is just such a powerful song. So before we go into this next, these last few moments here of prayer tonight, then I just want you to hear this song just for a moment. Go ahead, Donnie.
Your mercies are new every morning, so I run to you. My heart's not content, so I'm yearning to be close and made true. Do with me what you choose, so I can be a vessel you pour through. 'Cause your mercies are new every morning, so I run to you. My heart's not content, so I'm yearning to be close and made true. Do with me what you choose, so I can be a vessel you pour through, my God. Yes. Every day I seek your face to bathe myself in your sweet grace. I need your strength to come wash over me. Father, I need you to pick me up and heal me with your gentle touch. Lord, I need your love. Lord, I receive your love. Yes, I will keep on running, God. Oh, I keep on running, Lord. We run to you. I'm hurting, I run to you. We run to you. So good to me.
Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just give the rest of this time this evening to do just that, to run after you, to seek you. We need so much of you. Lord, we know your word says it's not a lack of faith or lack of agreeing that we don't have you in your fullness. But Lord, we press to live in the fullness of all that you are to us. Lord, we need you. We need you in the sense where Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We know that we don't eat once and that's it for the rest of our life. We need continual supply. Father, we thank you that we can hunger for you. We can thirst after you. We can be filled and continually filled. Paul declared that we should be filled with the Spirit, ongoing, ever-present, filling you, flowing in and through our lives. We hunger, Father, to be filled and full with you. Lord, we're taking this time that we might put away things and appetites and desires that would distract us and pull us away, that God, we might kindle up this desire. Lord, in this new year, that we would walk fresh with you. And Father, we're consecrating this time. Lord, I thank you, your blessing, you're already moving in the hearts and lives of your people. Lord, as we give this time to you, we have an expectation that just on the day of Pentecost, as they were tarrying, as they were waiting, as they were being obedient to your instruction, God, they were there. They didn't know when, they didn't know how, but you came with a suddenly into their life and into their midst. You poured your Spirit out upon them. You transformed them in a moment, God. We believe in this season, God, that we are positioning ourselves for a suddenly from you. God, that you will show up unexpectedly. So we know that you have a promise. So, Father, we position ourselves to receive. And we just bless you in Jesus' name. As we continue to pray tonight for these next few moments, I continue to encourage you just to keep seeking the Lord. God lays a scripture on your heart and prayer. Feel free to come and pray.